we're holding on Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, seventh line. We started learning yesterday about the dinim of Yichud, so now continuing on that topic. One thing we learned yesterday is that in principle, two men would be allowed to be alone in Yichud with one woman. So now the Gemara is going to qualify that point. Rav and Rav Yehuda have a ka'azli ba'ucha. One time Rav and Rav Yehuda were walking together on the road, and a woman was walking in front of them. Now, the Gemara does mention in some places that a man is not allowed to walk behind a woman in the street. So here, Rav Mefoshim explained that it has to be they were more than four amos away from her, but nevertheless, there's still the question of hear her, and to a certain extent of yichud. Maybe it was like a deserted road and there was nobody else. Anyway, Omale Rav Rav Yehuda. So Rav says to Rav Yehuda, Dal karech mikame gehenim, pick up your feet in the face of gehenim. In other words, let's hurry up and get ahead of her, so we're not walking behind her, and we don't have the problem of yichud with her. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda says, "V'homahu da'omah b'kshedim shapir dami." Didn't you, Rav yourself, you Rebbe, say that when it comes to two kshedim, it's allowed? As we learned yesterday, we said at the bottom of the previous amud that b'kshedim it's allowed with two men and pritzim not. So we're kshedim. What's the problem? So Rav says, "Mi yemid kshedim kagoin anova at." Do you think that kshedim means people like me and you? Okay, we're not prutzim, but we're not necessarily kshedim either. Ela kagoin mai. What would be an example of two men who would be allowed with one to be in yichud with one woman? Kagoin Rav Chanina bar Papi v'chaverav. For example, Rav Chanina bar Papi and Rav Tzadik and Rav Kahana, where we learned back on Daf Lamed Tes Mem. Stories at the end of the first parak, stories involving them, where Goyish women propositioned them to be mezana with them, and each one of them did something to get away from it. Rav Chinen Abba Papa, we had the story over there that first he used a spell, he used a shame Hashem, or something to fill himself up with sores, and then when that didn't help, then he ran away into a Beis HaKisse, which was frequented by Shadim, and he was still saved from it. Rav Kahana jumped into an oven. Rav Tzadik jumped off a roof. So, or the other way around, Rav Tzadik into an oven, Rav Kahana into off a roof. Whatever, those kinds of people who have Mesiras Nefesh to avoid Arayas, that's the kind of people we're talking about, Shadim. Not necessarily you and me, where we've never had such a Nisoyan in it. And there is Lahalocha. And the Rishonim discuss, in fact, when the Rambam brings this halacha, he doesn't even mention the difference between kshedim and prutzim. So evidently he understands, in other words, that Rav is saying on a factual level that most people cannot be considered kshedim for this purpose, only if you have the exceptional person like Rav Chinen Abba Papa and the others like him. On the other hand, other Rishonim say that there would be a difference. So, Lamaisen and Shulchan Aruch, it says that we can't consider most people to be ksherim, and therefore even two men with one woman is a problem, unless you have the considerations that we're going to mention soon about Baila Ba'ir and such things. Okay, more about the consequences for Yichud. Omer Rav, Malkin ala Yichud ve'in Osrin ala Yichud. Rav says we give a person malchus if they were over on yichud, but we don't aser a woman based on yichud. Now Rashi says when we mean malkin al yichud, Rashi says makas maudus, which implies that we're talking about a pnuya. We're not talking about an eshes ish. We discussed yesterday the possibility that maybe that the issue of yichud with an eshes ish or other arayas is actually midaraisa. So in that case, if we were talking about that over here, it wouldn't just be makas maudus, it would be actually malchus daraisa. The fact that Rashi says makas maudus implies that he's talking about a pnuya, where everybody agrees that that's only dirabanan after the story of Amnon and Tamar. However, when it comes to an eshes ish, if she was in yichud with somebody, we don't ask her to her husband. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't like that, because then why in the middle of the year switching from a pnuya to an eshes ish? So no, Tosfos says both of them are talking about a pnuya. When we say ve'en oistrin ala yichud, we mean we're not going to say that she's also to marry a kohen because she might be a zoin. Now, if we know that she had relations with somebody, and the question is whether it's a kohen, then not necessarily do we accept that that's her word, that it was a koyin or somebody miyuchas that's good enough in the future for her to marry a koyin. But uh, But the fact is over there that there we know that there was Be'ila. Here we don't even know that. She's saying that she's not. So therefore we don't ask her to marry a Kohen because of you. So that's how Tosfos learns that both Malkin and Oistrin refer to a Pnuya. Omer Rav Ashi, Voyamoran, Ela B'Pnuya. So now Rav Ashi says, this that we're talking about is only Ela B'Yichud Pnuya, is only when it's Yichud with an unmarried girl. So according to Rashi, the first half of Rav's statement is referring to a Pnuya. According to Tosfos, both parts are. El Avo B'Yichud De'eshes Ishloi, but says Rav Ashi, when it comes to Yichud, if a man is in Yichud with a married woman, then we don't give Malkus for it. We certainly don't give her Malkus at any rate. Shaloi tehe motzi laz albaneha, because you don't want to be motzi laz and her children. People are going to think that she was actually mezana with him, and therefore in the future, and therefore any of her children now or any children she might have in the future, people are going to think are mamzerim. So therefore, when it comes to an eishes ish, even though it is true, it is an issur daraisa, or so we talked about yesterday, whether it is an issur daraisa to be in yichud with an eishes ish. But regardless, either way, Rav Ashi is saying the problem of giving malchus in that case is it's going to be caused to be motzi laz on her children, and you don't want to do that. Now, on the other hand, continues the Gemara, Marzutra Malki Umachriz. Marzutra would give Malkus, but he would also announce afterwards that it was because of Yichud and not because of Znus. So Rashi explains that that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an Eishes Ish. So here, Rav Ashi is saying, with an Eishes Ish, you can't give Malkus because of the problem of Motzi Laz. So Rav Marzutra would get around that by making an announcement after the Malkus that it was because of Yichud, not because of Znus, and that way there won't be Motzi Laz. That's how Rashi learns. Hagos Hagrua mentions over here that the Rambam understands it to be referring to a Pnuya. So therefore, so same idea. In other words, he would give Malkus and he would announce why the Malkus was being given because of Yichud. So Rav Nachman Mipahatia says to Rav Ashi, in that case, given that we have Mazutra's precedent, Marnami Loki Velachris. So why don't you do the same thing? You just said that when it comes to an Eishes Ish, you don't give Malkus because people may then be Motzi Laz and think that her children are Mamzerim. Well, do like Mazutra did, make an announcement afterwards that it was because of Yichud. Amalei, so Rav Ashi says that doesn't really work. Ika d'shama b'ha, v'lo shama b'ha. You might conceivably have somebody who heard about one thing but did not hear about the other, meaning exactly that. You might have somebody heard that this person or these two people were given Malkus, and they don't end up hearing about the announcement, and then they're going to mistakenly think that there was Znus over here, and they're going to think that the woman's children are mamzerim, whatever. So therefore, that doesn't really work, says Rav Ashi, to make an announcement like that, because it may not work necessarily. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav, Malkin aloi tova hashmua. Here's another case where you can give Malkus is where there's a bad rumor going around about somebody. In other words, you have there's rumors going around about somebody. As far as this thing with Mazutra and also we just said that Rashi learns that it's about an Eishes Ish, but we said Rambam learns that it's about a Pnuya. So the vote would be the same idea, in other words, that Marzutra is saying we do give Malkus, but we also announce so that people don't think afterwards that she was a Zoina, similar to what Tosfos is saying, and then, or maybe to embarrass her, and Rav Ashi is saying the fact is that may not work. People may hear of the Malkus and think that she's a Zoina because they're not going to pay any attention to the announcement. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues. Amarav Malkin aloi tova hashmua. We also give Malkus when there's bad rumors going around about somebody that he's over Averis. So now we're not stopping talking about a random rumor. We're talking about where the Gemara mentions in other places at the end of Gittin, for example, the Gemara had discussed what the definition of a koil is as far as these kinds of things. It's a kol adlei posik. It's something that keeps on being spread over and over again. Or there's a raglayim ladover, those kinds of things. then you can give Malchus for that, even though there's no solid evidence that he did the Avera, because just the fact that a person has such rumors going around about him is itself considered an issue. He should be taking steps to avoid avoid being in situations where people are going to be able to spread such rumors about him. Now, the Gemara does mention elsewhere that if a person, for example, has enemies in town who are spreading false rumors about him, then it doesn't necessarily apply. So we're talking about when you have the various criteria that the Gemara mentions in other places, when there's a when you have whatever it takes exactly, api halacha, for it to be considered a koil, when you have such a koil, then that's reason enough to give a person malchus. Shenemar, as we find by Eli and his sons, where we know his sons were acting improperly, they're disrespecting the Kodshim, they're doing something involving the women over there, and that come to the Mishkan, we say in the Gemara and Shabbos, Kol Omer B'nei Eli Chota, Eina El Toya, that anybody who says that they actually sinned, that they actually committed Znus, is making a mistake, where they delayed bringing the Korbonos to these women, and that caused that interfered with their marriages. Eichiyah, the point is that after the pasuk describes what they were doing, then it says that Eli called them in and he's telling them off for it. So he says, "Al bonai ki lo tov ashmua." No, my sons, meaning don't act this way because there's not good rumors about you. So the word al constitutes a loises. So therefore, in effect, he's telling them, and we learn from that pasuk that for a person to have to allow that there should be rumors going around about him like that, is considered a lav, and therefore there can be malchus. Therefore, there can be malchus for him. So the Gemara says, "Mazutra moisiv la'afsera al kasve." Mazutra would put a bridle, like of an animal, like a bridle that you use to control the reins that you put on a horse or some other kind of animal. He would put that on the person's shoulder, umakli le al bonai, and he would read off the psukim al bonai. So in other words, Rashi says, just like we said before, Mazutra would make announcements about his malchus. He wanted the person himself to understand what he's getting malchus for. The guy is likely to think, "What do you mean? I didn't do anything wrong." So Mazutra, when he was giving the person malchus, he would also put this harness of an animal on the guy's shoulders in order to further embarrass him and in order to show him to a certain extent that he's acting like a behemoth. And he would read the pasuk al bonai in order to stress to him, "You should know this is why you're getting malchus, because you're acting in a way that's allowing such rumors to spread about you." There are various other explanations among Mephoshim, what he was doing with this harness exactly. Is it maybe that in such cases he wouldn't actually give malchus, he would just put the harness on the person's shoulders in order to embarrass him and tell him this pasuk al bonai, but not necessarily giving malchus? There are various explanations. Okay, getting back now to matters of yichud, the Gemara says, if the woman's husband is in town, then we're not concerned about yichud, because then she knows that he could come in. So now Rashi says actually it means only as far as malchus, meaning this that we were saying that there was malchus for yichud would not apply. Rashi says if her husband is in town. Now the implication of that is that it would still be osur. Tosfos says that no, that's not what it means based on the continuation of the Gemara. Rather, Tosfos says it means there's no iser at all when her husband is in town. Now lemaisa, so you do have this heter, but you do have some considerations about it. It's true that first of all, the Gemara is going to go on to say that if the man and the woman know each other very well, then even Baila Ba'ir may not help. But you have other considerations also. For example, Poskim Achronim talk about nowadays in large cities, you could have, for example, the husband's in the city, but he's at the other end of the city. Imagine Rav Moshe writes in one of his Truvas, for example. Imagine, for example, you know, you live in Brooklyn and the husband is up in the Bronx and it's going to take him an hour to get home. Are you going to say that's Baila Ba'ir? Not necessarily. On the other hand, for example, the Chazon Ish talks about, he says that it's more of a natural thing that a woman is afraid that her husband might walk in on her any moment, so even if she knows, even if she knows that he's actually an hour away, nevertheless, she still may have a certain, she still has a certain degree of ema, and therefore would be afraid to do anything wrong. So it's not so simple, this matter of Baila Ba'ir. But then in principle, that heter applies. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Pesach pasuach l'Rishos HaRabim, ein choshin mishum yichud. Also, if there's a door open to Rishos HaRabim, and therefore anybody can walk in, then also there's no concern of yichud. Now here, even Rashi doesn't mention about Malkus or not, implying that even Rashi would agree that such a thing is completely mutter. Because then obviously anybody can walk in at any moment, and therefore there's no problem. Here also, now you have a big machlokas we showed him when we say pasuach. Do we mean that the door has to actually be open, as in that anybody can see in, or is it enough that the door is not locked, where anybody could just turn the handle and come in? There you have a machlokas about that, whether what the definition of Pesach Pasuach is. And then also, again, there are details within that. For example, that would only work during the day or maybe the beginning of the night. It's not going to work like, in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep. Pesach Pasuach is not really going to help because realistically, nobody's going to come in at that time. And again, the poskim discuss various scenarios where even though there's a Pesach Pasuach, not necessarily are people going to be expected to come in. So this heter of Pesach Pasuach exists, but it's also not an absolute. It's also not an absolute thing. So the Gemara tells Rabbi Ikla Lebe Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Bibi one time visited Rabbi Yosef's house. Boser to Korich Rifta after they ate together. Korich Rifta literally means wrapped bread, because in the times of the Gemara, the common way to eat was that you would take your bread, which was more like a pita or a wrap or something like that. You would wrap it around the food and eat it that way. So Korach Rifta is the Gemara's usual terminology for having a meal together. Anyway, after they did, so now Rabivi was going to be upstairs. He was going to be staying upstairs. So Omalahu Shkuli Dauga Mituti Bivi. So Rabbi Yosef tells the members of his household, take the ladder away from under Bivi. Meaning, Rabivi again is going to be staying on the second floor. The way to get from there to the ground floor would be by way of a ladder. So now he's telling the people of the household, take away the ladder so that Rabivi is not able to come downstairs and be in Yichud with Rabbi Yosef's wife. So the Gemara says, why? Didn't we just say that if the husband is in town, then there's no problem of Yichud? And here Rabbi Yosef is not only in town, but at home. And the answer is, shiny Rabivi, deshushvinte havoi. It's different with Rabivi because Rabbi Yosef's wife was his good friend. Rashi uses it shushvinte. Now, a shushvin in Gemara terminology usually means somebody who helps you with your wedding. You have in Bava Basra, the Gemara talks about a whole concept of shushvinus, where there'd be a concept, for example, that you'd have a circle of friends where all of them help contribute to each one's wedding, and all of them attend the wedding, and they do this in a round robin fashion. They're all called shushvinin. Nowadays, we use shushvinin to mean the unterfitters. The point is that a shushvin is a very good friend. So this Rabivi and Rabbi Yosef's wife were very good friends. It actually uses the expression balas bris loy, that like we had in last week's parasha, the name bale bris Avram, that she had not literally a bris, but in other words, like she had a very close friendship with him. It could be that they grew up together. It could be any number of possibilities. Whatever the case, the point is that they knew each other very well. And therefore, she's very familiar with him. And therefore, even if Baila Ba'ir, that may not help. And then still there'd be a problem of yichud. So that's why Rabbi Yosef said to take away the ladder. In fact, Mephoshim point out, when you think about this, Rabbi Yosef, it says, was blind. And still we're seeing that if it weren't for this problem that Rabbi Bivi and Rabbi Yosef's wife are such good friends, then it would have been mutter for there to be yichud. Rabbi Yosef is blind. Nevertheless, Baila Ba'ir still is effective even if the husband is blind. On the other hand, other Mephoshim counter and say that's not really a proof because maybe the story happened before Rabbi Yosef became blind. We don't know when in his life that happened. Okay. Moving on with more dinim. Omer of Kahana, anoshim mibachutz v'noshim mibifnim. Suppose you have a place where there's two rooms, one further in than the other, and you have the arrangement as such, where the only way to get in and out of the inner room is to go through the outer room. So you have the inner room, in other words, has only one door through which you can go to the outer room, and then you have the outer room that goes out to the street. So Rav Kahana says, "Anoshim b'chutz v'noshim mibachutz v'noshim mibifnim." If the men are in the outer room, closer to the street, and the women are in the inner room, where the only way the women are going to get out, are going to get in and out, is by going through the room with the men. Ein choshishin mishum yichud. Then says Rav Kahana, there's no problem of yichud, because what's going to happen? The people in the outer room have no business going in, because why would they be going inside? That's further away than where they need to go in and out. So therefore, there's not going to end up being yichud as far as the women going through the men. As far as the women going through the men, there's no problem, because after all, you have many men over there. Unless the men are prutzim, like we learned yesterday, where even 10 would be a problem, then one woman is allowed to be in that room with the many men, and there's no problem of yichud. But Rav Kahana continues, anoshim b'fnim v'noshim b'chutz. But if it's the other way around, the men in the inner room, the women in the outer room, choshin mishum yichud, then there would be a problem of yichud, because what if one man wants to go out from the inner room, and he has to go out through the outer room that's full of the women, and he's going to end up being in yichud with them.
Even though it's one against many.
We said, so now we talked about yesterday whether a man is able to be in yichud with three or more women. Now, later on Daf Pei Beis, the last daf of our Masechta, we're going to mention, you have a case of a man that asok of imanoshim, that he does the kind of business that regularly puts him in contact with women. For example, he sells cosmetics or other such things. So then Rashi learns over there that he's not even allowed to be with many women. So usually he'd be allowed with two women, but he wouldn't be allowed with two women, we said in the Mishnah, but three or four would be fine. But there Rashi learns that we'd be talking about many women. So in that case, or Gemara over here with Rav Kahana would be referring to that kind of case. Tosfos says actually that to begin with, lo yisyachad imanoshim is not specifically somebody who does business with women. It means in all cases, then it means he's not allowed. It means that nobody is allowed to be even with multiple women. In the case of a peddler, where the Gemara talks about over there, is even if ishto ima, and we said in our Mishnah that ishto ima is fine because his wife will prevent him from doing anything, but not with a roichel, not with somebody who does business with women. So it comes out, according to Rashi, that some kinds of men are not allowed to be in yichud with multiple women, and according to Tosfos, no man is. So according to Tosfos, our case over here, we'd be talking about any man, and according to Rashi, we'd have to be talking about that these are men that are sok of imanoshim. So that's how Rav Kahana says it. On the other hand, the masnisa tona ipcha, there's a braisa that says the other way around. The braisa takes the view, if the men are on the outside and the women are on the inside, what happens? One of the men might go inside into the inner room, and none of the other men are going to notice he's missing. So then he disappears into that back room over there, and who knows what's going on over there. As opposed to the braisa is saying that when the women are in the outer room, then there's not a problem. Even if she does go into the inner room, fine. You still have many men over there, and if one of them goes out, then it's not considered yichud, because he figures somebody else may follow him, because other people are going to want to go in and out as well, and therefore it's like Pesach Pasuah. So the Braisa takes the view the other way around, that if the men are on the outside and the women are on the inside, there is a problem of yichud and not the other way around. Now, by the way, there is within this also, the question is, are we talking about to begin with, you can't have such an arrangement, you can't have, according to Rav Kahana, you're not allowed to have an arrangement to begin with where men are on the inner room and women are on the outer room, and according to the Braisa, the other way around. According to the Rambam, it's not really the problem, that arrangement in the first place. The question is, what happens if one of the men goes in or one of the women goes in to the other room? Do you have a problem with yichud?
Anyway, however, so now, so Amar Abaye, Hashdi, the Amar of Kahana Hochi, the Tonimas Nisa Ibcha, considering now that Rav Kahana says it one way and the Braisa says it the other way around, Anan Navid Lachumra, necessarily, Anan Navid Lachumra, then we had better be Machmir in both directions, and therefore we had better say that either way, that either way we're going to say that it's also whether you have, whether you have, now, the Shulchan Aruch brings more according to the Rambam's explanation. It's not a problem to have such an arrangement in the first place. What the problem would be if you have that one man, that one woman goes among the men, or one man among the women, then you have a problem of Yichud. The Rambam is learning, in other words, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, it's not a problem in and of itself to begin with to have such an arrangement where you're going to have men in one room and women in another, even where, and the rooms are adjacent. The problem is if there starts being mixing, if one of them goes into the other room, then either way, Abaye is saying you have a problem with Yichud. Because if Kahana would say it one way and the Braisa says it the other.
Even if the door is open and so someone can walk in any minute.
So even if somebody can walk in any minute and all that, yeah, you still have it.
But when they were walking outside, why was there each problem when the two Tzaddikim wanted to
go? You're talking about the beginning of the Amud, because the fact that the Gemara didn't say, but apparently it was like a deserted road. There was nobody else around, so therefore there's potentially
someone,
a problem.
Someone could pass it,
somebody could potentially pass by, but apparently it was the kind of road where not many people are going by. You know, back in the early Nuns, that Eber was talking about the point that sometimes you can have an issue of yichud with taxi drivers. That Eber was starting to stress the point then that women, if they have to take a taxi, should make sure to get a female taxi driver. And the same thing with men, because not always. Sometimes you have a deserted side street, and then you have issues of yichud. So yeah, okay. Continues the Gemara. But now, so you have a problem, for example, you have large gatherings of men and women, and how do you separate them to make sure that there's no mixing between them? Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, you have people getting together for a drosha or for a chuppah. So what do? To prevent people from mixing? So the Gemara says, Abaye doyer gufi. Abaye would set up rows of barrels between them. And the idea is if somebody tries to sneak through, then the barrels will, they'll brush against the barrels and they'll knock one against the other and there'll be a sound heard. And therefore, so it'll embarrass them. And that way people will avoid it in the first place. Rava Doyer Kona, Rava similarly would put up rows of reeds. The same idea. When you step on them, then it's going to make a noticeable sound. So that,
walls of weeds.
No, but Pashtus, not weeds, but reeds. But Pashtus, Rashi uses the expression that it means ha'over alehen, kolam nishma, somebody who passes alehen, and the sound is heard. It could mean a vertical wall, and it would mean as people go through them, it would make a rustling sound. It could also mean that it would spread them on the ground between the area, between the men and the women, and if a person walks on them, then it'll make a noticeable sound. Right. Whatever the case, the point is it was another way of making sure that people don't cross the line. So in this connection, Omar Ovin, so Ovin says on the side over here, it says maybe it should be Abaye, Sakva de Shata Rigla. The sore time of the year, as far as these things, is the Yomim Tov. Sakva, Rashi explains, means basically like a sore, like you have a sore on the back of a camel or a donkey or whatever. The sore time of the year when it's most likely to have to create problems with Yichud and then Znus and whatever is Yomim Tov, because everybody's gathering together to listen to the Droshas, and therefore they end up talking with one another. So that time of year is the most important to make sure that that men and women stay separate. In fact, the Rambam writes as a matter of halacha that Beis Din is obligated to set up patrols in places where people are gathering together, streets, parks, and things like that, to make sure that nothing is going on. Tosfos mentions over here that this is one reason why we have the concept of the fast of Bahab. After Pesach and after Sukkot, nowadays not many people keep them, but those who do keep them, and you can find them listed in the calendars and whatever, is partly based on this idea, because during those Yom Tovim, Pesach and Sukkot, there was much more of a chance for there to be Averis of various kind, and therefore you have the fast of Bahab for people to do Tshuva. The posts talk about, so why not after Shavuos? And the reason is Shavuos, at least in Eretz Yisrael, is only one day. In Chutz Laaretz it's two, but there's not much opportunity during then to be doing Averis.
People are irregular,
but still, the fact is it's only one day, so there's not much opportunity, as opposed to Pesach and Sukkot, each last a week, so there's more of a chance of it. The Gemara continues. So now the Gemara is going to tell us several stories of Chachamim and what they went through as far as the Yetzer Hara for the taiva for women. And the point of these stories is to tell us that even great tzaddikim have such taivas, and they take steps to avoid it. So the first story is like this: Hanoch Shvu Yosada Asoylan Hada. It once happened that a bunch of Jewish women who had been captured by Goyim were brought to Nahada. So the Jews had done pidyon shvuyim, and they brought them to Nahada. Askinu leBeirav Amram Chasida. They brought them into the house of Rab Amram Chasida. Rashi says he's the one who had arranged the pidyon shvuyim in the first place. So now they brought them to his house to stay there until they could get to their respective to their respective houses. So they put them up on the second floor, Ashkulu Daga Mitkamayu, and they took away the ladder because, like we said before, in those times they didn't always have permanent stairs between one level and another, just like we had in the story of Rabibi and Rabbi Yosef. So they took away the ladder for the same reason, so there shouldn't be a problem of yichud between them and the members of the household. However, Bahadi the Kacholfo Chodaminayu, as one of them was passing by, so you have this hole in the ceiling that you can see up into the attic through it. So as one of them was walking by the hole, she was so beautiful, enough on the hoda be'ipuma, there was a light shining in from through the hole, because in other words, her face glowed with such beauty. Ben Yoyota says it may not have been a derech hateva thing. It may have been actually the Sutton getting involved over here in order to davka to be machshor Rav Amram. Anyway, Rav Amram had such a taiva for her, shakle Rav Amram ledauger. Rav Amram then took that ladder, and that ladder was so heavy, to have a yochlin be asar on the midliya. 10 people normally couldn't pick up that ladder. The dauya lechode, and he picked it up alone. It was a posh, his yetzahara was giving him enormous superhuman strength. Solik v'ozel, and he starts climbing. He puts the ladder in place and starts climbing up it. When he reached halfway up the ladder, then he caught himself. What am I doing over here? Ifshach, he spread his legs apart like to brace himself. I'm not going any further. Roma Kola, and he started yelling out, Nura Bey Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house. So everybody comes running to help put out the fire. Osir Abonon, the Chachamim came and saw what happened, and they saw there's no fire, and they see what's going on, that he's halfway up the ladder. Omrele Kasifitinon, they said, you embarrassed us. Now everybody's going to think that Tamar Chachamim are no better than anybody else when it comes to these things. Omrele, he says to them, Mutav Tichsifu Bei Amram Ba'al Mahadein, better you should be embarrassed in Amram's house in this world, rather than be embarrassed of him, where, in other words, if I had gone through with this, then I'd be tremendously embarrassed, and all you chachamim who associated with me or learned from me would also be embarrassed. So I'd rather this. I did this. I raised the alarm, so all of you will come running, and that way I saved myself from an aveda.
I was scared someone's going to fall down. Like that's always happening.
Yeah. So now Rav Amram realized how even a tzaddik like him, and we called him before, Rav Amram Chasida, so he was a chassid, which is beyond even being a tzaddik. So when he saw how bad things can get with the Yetzer Hara, he beswore his Yetzer Hara to leave. He says at this point, Yetzer Hara, I don't want you around anymore. Basically, you're making too much trouble. In other words, basically, yeah. So Marshall explains. In other words, not like this. What this means is that up until now, Rav Amram was using his own koichus to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Now he's calling on like extra koichus milamayla in order to be able to defeat the Yetzer Hara once and for all. Just like we find Mashbiya Noise. We find by a baby, for example, Mashbiyan Oise, Ti Tzadik Baal Ti Yerosha, and it talks about Chassidus, the idea that Mashbiyan is also Masbiyan, that he's also he's a Mezetimon, yeah, we fill him up with power. So the same way, when he's beswearing his Yetzer Hara over here, means he's taking that extra step to prevent the Yetzer Hara from getting him in the future. And sure enough, Nofik Mineki Amudin Nura, the Yetzer Hara came out of him looking like a pillar of fire. That was when Amram said before that a fire in Amram's house, he was being truthful. There was a fire, the fire of the Yetzer Hara. Omar, so he says to the Yetzer Hara, Omar Lei, so he says to that Yetzer Hara, Chazi, take a look. Da at nura v'ano bisra, you're fire. I'm only flesh. V'ano adifna minach, and yet I'm greater than you, that I was able to overcome you. So this is also meant as a lesson for everybody to learn. Don't think your Yetzer Hara is like a consuming fire and there's nothing you can do against it. There's always a strategy to get away, to get over it. Maosho refers, by the way, to a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions that the Yetzer Hara for Znus in particular is compared to fire. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, for example, that Achav was a very frigid person and Izevel wanted to heat him up. So therefore, the same way in our Gemara, then this Yetzer Hara is being compared to fire.
That was a troublemaker, mean?
What? Izevel was Achav's wife. And she, yeah.
He was probably convinced.
He was, no, so he was, no, so he was frigid. He didn't have much of a taiva for Znus, and she tried to arouse that taiva by him. Anyway, another story the Gemara tells, Reb Meir have mitzloitzitz over Avera. Reb Meir used to make fun of people who do Avera. Avera in this context means Znus. So in other words, Reb Meir would say, weak people. If they really wanted it, it's not that hard to control that Yetzer Hara. So now, the Eibishter wanted to show him that it's not so simple. It is something a person is expected to conquer, but nevertheless you can't laugh at people who don't. So Yom Echad Idme Lei Satan Ke'itza. One day the Satan, and we know who Satan, who Yetzer Hara, appeared to him in the form of a woman. Bahach Gisa Denara, on the other side of a river. Now, Loi have a Mabra, there was no Mabra to cross the river. Mabra could mean a bridge or it could mean a ferry. So the normal way of getting across rivers back then would be there was either a bridge or there was a ferry. Even nowadays, actually. So there was none of that. Knock at Metzra of Ka'avar. So what there was across the river, there was a Metzra, which is a rope stretched from one end of the river to the other with like a little plank of wood next to it, like field workers or whatever. They don't have time to wait for the ferry and there's not necessarily a bridge close enough. They would use a makeshift bridge like that to get from one side to the other. So the mayor, was grabbing a hold of this metzra in order to cross. We had similarly at the end of Ksubas, we had in the positive way where Zera is about to cross over into Eretz Yisrael, and he used a metzra like that to cross that last river that he needed to cross because he was so eager to get to Eretz Yisrael. So here, on the other hand, the mayor was so eager to get to this woman and then do who knows what with her that therefore there's no mabra. He's still going to take the trouble to use this metzra. Ki Mata Palga Metzra, when he reached halfway across the river, Shavke, then the Yetzer Hara left him alone, and so he lost that type. Omar, and the Sutton tells him, you should know, if not for the fact that they announce in Shemayim, be careful with Rameo and his Torah, in other words, show him great respect because of the Torah he learns. If it weren't for that, Shavisi l'domach tauti moi, I would have made that your blood would be worth only 2 ma. So it could mean, in other words, he would say that I would have killed you and your blood would be worthless. It could mean that he would say that Sutton is saying that I would have still held you in my grip and caused that you would have done the Saveda, and then you would be like a nothing, like you would be like a nobody from now on. Whatever the case, the point is only the source of your Torah saved you, but in the future, don't make fun of over Aveda because you yourself realize now how powerful such a taiva can be when a person is gripped by it. Why a river over here? Ben Yoyada talks about that water represents Torah, and therefore the fact that there was a river between them represents that Reb Meir's Torah is going to be what saves him, what ultimately saves him from the actual Aveir. Similarly, the Gemara says Reb Akiva Hamon the Sloitzis over Aveir. Similarly, Reb Akiva used to make, who was Reb Meir's Rebbe. Ben Yehoyada points out, now the Gemara lists these stories out of order. Evidently, the story with Reb Meir happened before the one with Reb Akiva. They both live, they're a Rebbe and a Talmud, but evidently the story with Reb Meir happened before this one we're going to tell was Reb Akiva. Otherwise, it would have put the story with Reb Akiva first.
Reb Meir was
Reb Akiva's Talmud. Oh. Yeah. So, similarly, Reb Akiva having a mitzloitzitz over Aveira, Reb Akiva used to make fun of people who commit znus. Same idea. One day the Sutton appeared to him like a woman at the top of a palm tree. And the symbolism is, Ben Yoyada says, palm tree represents a tzaddik, tzaddik katomo yifrach. So again, it's going to represent that his tzidkos eventually is going to see what's going to save him. But still, Reb Akiva thought it's an actual woman. Knocked the dikla of kasolik. He started grabbing a hold of the palm tree and climbing up. Keep in mind, the palm tree is not very easy to climb. It's a very tall tree. So still, Rabbi Akiva was in such a grip of a Yetzer Hara that he was climbing up like that. When he reached halfway up the tree, then the Yetzer Hara left him alone. And he says the same thing. If it weren't for the fact that they announced in Shemayim, be careful around Rabbi Akiva and his Torah, I would have made your blood worth only 2 mois. Same idea. In other words, whether it means I would have killed you, whether it means I would have you would have ended up being over the Aveira, whatever the case. The point is, don't be misloitz, it's over Aveira in the future. Similarly, the Gemara tells a story. Now, this next story over here doesn't have to do with the Yetzer Hara for Znus, but it has to do more generally with the Yetzer Hara. Plimoy, have a Rogel, Lamema, Kol Yoima. Plimoy, who was one of the early Amoraim, was a Talmud of Rebbe, he used to regularly say every day, Dira Be'ena de Sutton, an arrow in Sutton's eyes. In other words, he would say every day this curse against Sutton that he should have an arrow in his eye. Marshall points out that we know the eye is one of the two big middlemen that cause a person to do Averis. The expression in the Gemara is Ein of a libet trei sarsuri dechata. A person sees with his eyes and thinks with his heart, and those are the two middlemen that broker and bring him to Averis. So Plimo specifically is mentioning in connection with the Yetzer Hara, but the Sutton, he's saying the eye. So he's saying, in other words, I'm fighting against the Yetzer Hara. Now, the point of this story and the point of the previous stories is also that, you know, you have the Gemara. We learned earlier in our Masechta that a person's Yetzer Hara tries to overpower him every day. And Umole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozre in Yochel, if it weren't for Hashem's help, he wouldn't be able to overcome him. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, in Perek Yud Gimel, what it means is that, like this, a person has a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara, a Nefesh HaLekis and a Nefesh HaBahamas, and then the Yetzer Hara might well overpower the Nefesh HaLekis, might well overpower the Yetzer Tov, except that the Eibishter helps out and gives the Yetzer Tov extra strength to be able to overcome, because by giving the power of Moyach Shalat Alalev. So in our Gemara over here, we're making the same point. Each of these Chachamim, especially over here with the story of Plimoy, as we're going to see, he's not paying close enough attention to the fact that you need Siyata Dishmaya to overcome the Yetzer Hara. He thinks he can do it all with his own koichas.
I'm saying Shir Malson and Shir Shoyam.
Shir Shoyam, what are you saying?
Shir Malson before Yom Yom.
One day and one time, Erev Yom Kippur, Idmele Ka'anya, the Sutton came and disguised himself like a poor person, also Korah Baba, and he came, was calling at the door and asking for tzedakah. So they brought him out some bread. But the Sutton says to Plimoy, Yoimaki Ha'idna, a day like today, such a chosh of a day, Erev Yom Kippur, Kula Alma Gavoi, Vano Abroi, everybody else is inside, and I'm sitting on the outside. Is that right? So they brought him in, so they invited him inside, and they served him food. But they're having him sit separately from everybody else.
Because it's a woman.
No, he didn't appear like a woman. He just appeared like a poor person. But whatever, they have their table where they're eating. Their soda, and they seated him separately. Omalei, but again, the Sutton says in his disguise as a poor person, Yoima Ha'idna, Yoima Ki Ha'idna, such an important day like today. Kula Alma Ataka Vanola Chodoy. Everybody else is sitting around the table, and you're sitting me by myself. Okay, I see you. I Oisvu Ataka. So they brought him and sat him by the table. Have a Yosef. So now the Sutton in the disguise of a poor person is sitting over there. Mola nafshi shichna v'kib alei. He was filling himself with sores and boils. You know, with the Sutton being after all a malach, he's able to, all of a sudden, he's causing boils and then things like that to break out all over his body. And he's doing disgusting things with them. Like he's picking at the sores right there by the table in front of everybody. So they told him, Tiv Shapur, sit nicely. Don't act in a way that's going to disgust us here by the table. Omrulay, so the Sutton doesn't even react to that. He says, Hobali Kosa, give me a cup of something to drink. Yavale Kosa, so they gave him a cup. Ichmar, the Sutton, still in this disguise of a poor person, coughed up, Shodebe Kichoy, and he spit phlegm into the cup, like really nauseating everybody there by the table. Nochrube, so they yelled at him, come on already, you know, have a little mental fight. Shoka umis, the Sutton at that point pretended to have died. He pretended like he was so shocked by them yelling at him that he pretended like he fell over and died. Shomu Dahavu Ka'amri, then the people in the household hear voices from outside, Plima Kotor Gavra, Plima Kotor Gavra, that Plima has killed somebody. Now Rashi says they weren't actually hearing it, they were hearing things. This was all part of the Sutton's tricks over there, that he's causing them to hear things. Like this, they start hearing as though there were voices coming from outside saying that Plima killed somebody. Really, this is all the Sutton basically doing almost like ventriloquism, yeah. So Plima was afraid. So Plima ran away and hid himself in the bathroom. Ozal Basre and the Sutton followed him over there. Nofokame, and he falls down. He falls down in front of Plima and pretends again like he's dead. Ki dechazia dahava mitstar. Then he saw that Plima is feeling very bad over here. Marsho explains that Plima thought, I don't know what's going on over here. Is this maybe a different person? Maybe now I'm responsible for two people dying? Is it maybe that first I thought he was dead, and now he followed me, and now he died? So Plima didn't know what's going on over here. So when the Sutton saw how bad Plima is feeling, Galilei Nafshi, then he revealed himself to him and said, you should know, I'm not Stam, a poor person, I'm the Sutton. And he said, Omalei, and the Sutton tells him, my time, Amartachi. Why were you saying this? Gira Be'ena to Sutton. Why are you cursing me all the time? So Plima answers, Ve'ela Hechi Ema. So what should I say? So the Sutton tells him, Omalei, Le'maman, Rachmanan Nigar Be'be Sutton. You should say, Hashem should rebuke the Sutton, which we find the Lashon HaPasuk, where the Navi, the Malach says to Hashem, the Malach says, Yigar in Zechariah's Nevuah, Yigar Hashem b'cho ha-Sutton. Hashem should rebuke you, Sutton, and not allow you to, and in that case, over there he was going and being Mekatrig on Yeshua Kohen Gadol. So we have it in the Haftorah, Bahaloscha, the first Shabbos of Hanukkah. Yeshua Kohen Gadol was the first Kohen Gadol of the second Beis Hamikdash. Right. We find that his sons were among the ones who married women they weren't supposed to. That's mentioned in Sefer Ezra, and he didn't rebuke them for it. So therefore, so the Sutton is now being makatrig on him, and now the Eibishter says to the Sutton, Yigar Hashem b'chah Sutton. Hashem is rebuking you, Sutton, and telling you don't go accusing Yeshua. Look, I'm going to give him a chance for him and his children to do tshuva. The point is, in other words, now the Sutton says the same thing to Plimoy. Don't say an arrow in the eye of Sutton as though it's all with my own koichus. Rather, appeal to Hashem's help, because realize again that in Mole HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Israel, without the Eibishter's help, you're not going to be able to overcome the Yetzirah, which who's Sutton, who Yetzirah. So that would be the expression to say. So in other words, it's not a matter. And also, Marashah says this way, you're not cursing the Sutton. You're just telling him, like in the Lashon HaPasuk, Hashem should rebuke you and tell you, don't do this. Go bother somebody else. Okay. Another story involving one of the Chachamim and the Yetzirah. Rav Chiba Ashi have a rogo called Idin to have a nafal la'ape. Rav Chiba Ashi, regularly, whenever he would do Nefilas Apayim, now Nefilas Apayim, so we say a standard thing. We say Rachem Bochanan, and we say Kepetor Chof Hei of Tillin. But in those times, it was much more common when a person was doing Nefilas Apayim, he would say he would also say his own personal Tfilas at the time. So Rav Chiba Ashi, when he was doing the Nefilas HaPayim, have Omer HaRachman Yetzelenu MiYetzahara. He would say, may Hashem save us from the Yetzahara. Now, of course, Marashah points out, HaKol B'Dei Shemayim, Chutz B'Yiras Shemayim, but nevertheless, a person is entitled to ask for Siyata D'Shemayim. Like we said, Hashem has to help a person. Well, Yoy Mechad Shmatinu Dvesu. One day, his wife overheard what he was saying. Omra, she starts thinking to herself, Mechdi, let's consider. It's many years already that he's separated from me and is not having relations with me because he's old. So at this point, he's so old. What does he have to be afraid of? The Yetzirah anymore. Or my time, why is he still asking Hashem to save him from the Yetzirah? What Yetzirah? So she decided to test him and see whether, in fact, he still has such a Yetzirah. So one day Rav Chiba Ashi was sitting in his garden and learning Torah. Kishta Nafsha, she beautified herself with cosmetics and jewelry and whatever, and perfume. And she started walking back and forth in front of him. And he apparently didn't recognize her. Omalamanat, he says, who are you? Omra, so she pretends, she says, Ano Harusa de Hadri mi Yoima. I am Harusa, which is actually says the name of a famous Zoyna in the city. I've just gotten back from a trip. The Aruch has a bit of a different Girsa, not Harusa, but Chedvosa, which means like the joyful one, like in other words, the friendly, joyful one, the one that that I'd be happy to commit Znus. Anyway, so Tova, so he propositioned her to commit Znus with her, not knowing that it's his own wife. Omrele, but she says, first, if you want to do that, I see ni ali lahanach rumna duresh tzutzisa. First go pick me that fruit at the top of the branch. So Rashi describes, in other words, you have a palm tree, which, like we said before, a palm tree is very tall and hard to climb. So I want you to go. I want you to climb up that palm tree and bring me down the top branch or the top fruit. And then I'm willing to do whatever you say. Shovar, he jumped up, Ozel, and he climbed up, Ozel, I see Allah, and he brought it for her. So sure enough, then she was willing to go along with the charade, and they ended up having relations. He also the baser. Then when he came home, and he felt very bad about what he had done, as far as he knew, he had committed znus. Havakoshagra dvesu tanura. His wife was firing up the oven to cook some food. Sodik v'kol yosef v'gave. He went up and went into the oven like he was ready to kill himself for. Rashi says for the fact that he felt he figured he had done a terrible aveira. And there are other explanations and say that why would he do that? One interesting explanation is maybe at the time she was a nida, in that case there's an isu koris. So fine, if it was just a matter of a zoyna, which is an isu lav, he wouldn't do that. But in this case, he was concerned she was a nida, and then there's an isu koris involved. And then there are various other explanations. Ben Yehoyada says that it wasn't necessarily actually like Rashi says trying to kill himself. He just wanted to give himself yisurim, like his feet will be burned. He explains he was gonna kind of do it like midah keneged midah, like shuvas amishkol. He used his feet to climb up the tree over there, so therefore he's gonna burn his feet. So Omer Lei Mai Hai. So his wife says, "What are you doing?" Omer Lahochi Vahochi Avamai. So he tells her the whole story. Omer Lei Ano Havoi. She tells him that was me. That wasn't a zoyna. Loy Ashkachlo, he wasn't paying any attention to her. Yeah, you're saying it was you, sure. Ad the Yavale Simonim, until she gave him actual Simonim to demonstrate that it really was. Omaloi says, Anomiel, the Surah Ikavni. That may be, but nevertheless, I had in mind to do an Isser, and therefore I need Kapara for that. So throughout the rest of the life of that tzaddik, he was fasting and doing tshuva. Eventually, he passed away from that death. Meaning, in other words, he fasted so much that eventually he weakened and passed away. Well, Ben Yehoyada says it means that he never recovered from like this. He burnt his feet, like we said, going into the oven. He never recovered from that until he actually passed away. Yeah, and the Gemara says Ditanya, as in fact he had a point. As we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in Nazir, when the Pasuk says about a woman and her Nadorim, Isha Hafeira Mashem Yislach La, the Pasuk describes that her husband has canceled her Nadorim and Hashem will forgive her. Mamar Kasa Madaba, what is the Pasuk talking about? Why should Hashem have to forgive her? The Isha Shinodra Manazir, imagine you have a woman has made a Neder of Nazirus, the Shama Baila Behefer La, her husband hears the Neder and is Mefer to her, as we learned in Masechta Nadorim. Vihila Yoda Shahefa Labaila. She doesn't know that her husband was made for the nether, but it's a shoitzi yayin matamala mesim. She's drinking wine and becoming tummy mess. So therefore, so she thinks she's doing wrong, even though objectively she's not, because her husband was already made for the nether. And the Pasuk is saying, Hashem Yislach La, Hashem will have to forgive her for that because she needs kapara. So in this connection, Rabbi Akiva, ki have a moti, lahai psuka, have a bochi. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this Pasuk in his learning, he would cry. Omar, he would say, "Umam mishin eskaven lecho b'sayu chazir v'olub yodi b'sayu tle." Well, then consider a kavachomer. You have somebody intended to eat chazir flesh, and instead Hashem arranged that he ended up picking up a piece of kosher meat, of sheep meat. Omra tora tzricha kaporo v'slicha, and yet the pasuk is saying over here that she needs kaporo v'slicha because we're saying Hashem yislach la. So she thought she was doing something also, and it turns out she's doing something mutter, and still v'Hashem yislach la. So then a person who intended to eat chazir flesh and actually ended up eating it, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that he needs a kapara. Similarly, kayotze b'davar ata omer. So you have a similar You have a similar kind of thing that you find when the Pasuk says regarding an Oshem Tolui, the lo yada v'oshem v'nasa avonah, a person doesn't know that he committed a certain Isser, he doesn't know whether he committed a certain Isser, and he's guilty, and he bears his guilt, and he has to bring an Oshem Tolui, the classic case being where a person has a piece, he doesn't know whether a particular piece is Shruman, which is Mutter, or Chelev, which is Osir, and eats it, and now he's not sure what it was, so he has to bring a korban. So the same thing. Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk. He would cry. A person intended to eat shuman, and they ended up picking a piece of chelev. And still, the Torah is saying, even though he didn't know, he's guilty and he bears his sin. He has to bring a korban. How much more so somebody who intended to eat chelev and actually ended up eating the actual chelev? Marsha points out in the first one with the Aforas Nedarim, he's referring to Chazer versus Tle. Here he's referring to Shuman, and Chelev, because the fact is that an Oshem Tolui comes only for things that are Chayev Krisis, so there's an Chayev Koris, which would be Chelev. Eating Chazer flesh is not Chayev Koris, therefore they can't bring that example of Chazer versus Tle in connection with an Oshem Tolui, because it wouldn't work Lalof. There's a lot. Of course, it gets Malkus for it, but not Chorus. Anyway, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, and Isi ben Yehuda says, here's something else. When the Pasuk says, V'lo yoda v'oshim v'nasa avonai, the Pasuk is saying he doesn't know, but he's still guilty, and bears his guilt. So that means, al dogozye yidvu kol adovim, everybody who feels bad about such things should feel, everybody who has a heart to feel bad about such things, says Rashi, should feel bad about it. But here you have a person didn't even mean to do an Aveda, and yet Hashem holds him guilty for that. There's a famous word that's brought. Tosfos brings it in Nazir. The word Yidvu itself stands for. There's the words in this pasuk. Yoda v'oshem v'nasa. That is why he uses this expression Yidvu kol adovim. That everybody who has a heart, everybody who has the understanding to realize the consequences of an avera, should realize from this pasuk, from the lashon pasuk, to feel bad about that, and to realize that even an inadvertent avera requires some kind of kapara. The Gemara continues. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Misyachat Adamim Imay, a man is allowed to be in Yichud with his mother or with his daughter. So let's talk about that. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi, Misyachat Adam Imachoisoi, a man is allowed to be in Yichud occasionally with his sister. As we talked about yesterday, they can't live together with Kvios, but they can be an occasional Yichud together. We talked about yesterday some of the dinim about how long it can be. Up to 30 days. We talked about yesterday something that Moshe says it's not really a fixed amount of 30 days. It depends whether the living arrangements are b'kvius or not. The dorim ima v'imbita, and a man is allowed to live even b'kvius with his mother or with his daughter. Because again, there's no issue of yichud with such close relatives because a person doesn't have such a yetzahara for them. Ki omra kameh de Shmuel. So when Rabbi Huda told this over to Shmuel, Omar, Shmuel says, no, also leis yachidim kol arayis to v'torah v'afilu in behema. No, you're not allowed to be in yichud with any erva in the Torah, even a mother or daughter or whatever. Now, it may only be dirabbanan, fine. We learned yesterday that there's a pasuk in the Torah that implies that a man is allowed to be in yichud with his mother, but he's saying at least midirabbanan it should be also v'afilu in behema, even with a behema, because you have the concern of bestiality over there, which we'll talk about more about that in the Gemara tomorrow. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Tanan, we said in the Mishnah, Misiyachad Adamim Imim Vim Bito, V'yoshin Imam B'kirov Basar, we said even a man is allowed to, a young boy is allowed to sleep with his mother skin-to-skin contact, a father with his daughter, and then they're allowed to be in Yichud, or Tiyuv to the Shmuel, so isn't that a contradiction on Shmuel? The answer is, Amalach Shmuel, V'litai Meich, knew according to your Svara that you're even asking the question. Hodatanya Achoisev Achamoser Sharkol Arayis Shvatoda and Mistiach Nimam Ela Be'edim. You have a Braisa that says that a person's sister or his mother-in-law or any other Erva or any other Arayis in the Torah, he can be in with Yichud with them only with Edim, where there's no Yichud. Be'edim Ein Shaloi Be'edim Loi, which means only if there's Edim, not if there's no Edim. Ela Tanoi. Obviously, there must be a machlokas tanoim whether a person is allowed to be in yichud with his close relatives or not. So I hold like the opinion that not. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, Omer Rav Meir, he zoharu bi mipnei biti. Reb Meir would tell his Talmidim, be careful around me with my daughter. Don't allow that if I'm with my daughter alone in one house, that we should be in Yichud. Make sure that some of you stay here. That was, Ben Yehoyada says, that was after the story on Amud Aleph, where the mayor was almost nichshol in Avera because the Satan tried to trick him. So now, from now on, he wants to take the extra, he wants to show his Talmidim to go the extra mile, even where technically it would be mutter, to be careful about that. And again, this way it stresses to people that even great tzaddikim have a Yetzirah, and they shouldn't think, well, I don't have such a Yetzirah. Similarly, Omer of Tyfon, Hizar with Mepne Kalosi. Similarly, Reb Tyfon would tell the members of his household, be careful with me around my daughter-in-law. Again, don't allow us to be in Yichud. Liglagal of Oisei Talmud, a certain Talmud of Reb Tyfon made fun of that. You really think there's going to be something between you and your daughter-in-law? Not very long happened before that Talmud ended up being nichshol with his mother-in-law. So he thought, yeah, a person doesn't have a title for such things, but the Ebishter brought it about circumstances where he ended up being mezaneh to show that nobody is immune to such yetzaharas. Okay. So now we said afilu in behema. We said Shmuel had said you're not even allowed to be in yichud with an animal. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Abaya machlole mikula dabra. Abaya would machlole from the whole city. So Rashi says two explanations. One is when Abaya himself would go out to the fields to learn, to sit and learn Torah like this. He wants to sit by himself to be able to review his learning without distractions. He would make sure there are no animals in the entire field. Now, Tosfos points out this and the next things we're saying over here are not actually required al pi halacha. We're going to learn tomorrow, loy nechshar b'Yisrael, al mishkav zocher, v'ala behema, your average Jew is not suspected of doing such things. Regular arayas, yes, but not zchor and not behema. But here, Rabbaya wanted to be extra machna himself. So that's Rashi's first explanation, is he would make sure there are no animals in the field when he's sitting there. Rashi's second explanation is that he would tell shepherds, you shouldn't be alone with the animals in the field. If you're going to be there, you have to have multiple shepherds over there. Similarly, Rav Sheshis Mabrele Metzra, Rav Sheshis would have the animals be on the other side of the field. So again, there's no yichud. And similarly, Rav Chonin Min HaHadar Ikol Abed Rav Kahana LaPum Nara. Rav Chonin Min HaHadar one time visited Rav Kahana in the city of Pum Nara. Chazir Di Yosef, he saw Rav Kahana is sitting because Goras and he's learning Torah. V'kaim Behema Kamein, an animal standing in front of him. Omalei, so Rav Chonin says, Lo Sovala Afilu in Behema. Don't you agree with what we just said? You're not allowed to be in Yichud with an animal. Omalei Labadato. So he says, I didn't realize I was distracted with my learning. I was focused on my learning, and therefore I didn't realize. But if I had realized, then Taka I wouldn't have done it. And the Gemara mentions another din as far as Yichud. Another relevant din as far as Yichud. Omar Rava Misyachad Adamim Shte Yevamos. A man is allowed to be in Yichud with two sisters-in-law because, as we learned in Yevamos, the two sisters-in-law don't like each other. Potentially they could end up becoming tzores, because if the husband of one of them dies, then the other one's going to need Yibum, and then they could end up being tzores. So we learned, for example, over there that a Yevama is not believed to say that Yevama's husband has died because she might be trying to mess her up. So the same way over here, if he tries to be mezana with one of them, then the other one is going to black. Vim shtei tzores, similarly, he's allowed to be in Yichud with two tzores, two men married to the same woman. Im isha v'chamosa, also with a woman and her mother-in-law, same idea, because they don't like each other either, as we learned over there. Im isho basbaila, also together with a woman and her stepdaughter. And also im isha v'tinoikas shiadas tambia v'nimaseres atzmalbia. You're also allowed to be in Yichud, says Rava, with a woman and also a girl, where the girl is old enough to understand what bia is, to understand the taste of bia, how enjoyable it is, v'nimaseres atzmalbia, but she doesn't give herself over to it yet because she's too young. So this is the concept we have. For example, occasionally you have a chuppas nidya. You try to avoid it, but sometimes it happens. A couple gets married, and the wife is nidya. Right. So then you have to have shomrim. You have to have shomrim during the sheva brachas, and they have you. The minhag is you have a boy stays together with the chassan, and the girl, and a girl together with the kala, and the girl is of this age where you das tambia, etc. You have other examples like that also, where you have a girl or a boy of that age in the house, when otherwise it would be a problem of Yichud, and it works as shomrim. What that age is, the general understanding among poskim is between approximately 5 and 9 years old. below five, they don't understand what's going on, and above nine already, they themselves might be susceptible to being talked into this. Okay, so that's pretty much it. We're going to continue tomorrow in the next Mishnah. We're going to talk about the more dinim involving yichud, but first the Gemara is going to digress, not really digress, but to talk about a little bit. We said in the Mishnah that at young ages a mother was allowed to sleep in a bed with skin to skin contact with her young son, and a father with his daughter. So we're going to deal with those dinim tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then we'll continue with the dinim of Yichud. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow is the last daf of the Masechta, and actually the entire Seder Noshim.
Okay.